Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. continues to rank among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast ChristNet on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
This attorney told me that if I were to win this case or it were dismissed on a technicality or anything like that, I would get a phone call the next day with another cake order and we'd start all over again.
If trans is a thing, it's in your DNA, it's the way you were born, then the overwhelming majority of these kids wouldn't, as the clinicians say, desist or stop identifying as gender dysphoric.
What the progressives knew was that you have to start at the place where ideas are formed and where ideas percolate. It's why they went to universities and took over there first.
So the Holy Spirit is training us, shaping us, giving us His strength and power. He's putting to death our sinful flesh and giving us newness of life.
Northern California spotted owl biologists, love, issues, etc.
Am I guilty of the sins that my ancestors committed? Am I guilty of sins just because of my skin color? Are my children and my grandchildren, are they guilty of my sins? Cultural Marxism answers all those questions with yes, especially if you're white. You are guilty, just by virtue of your skin color, of everything that your white ancestors did. Whatever they did, be it slavery or any other kinds of evils, that's on you, and you need to own it, and you need to, well, there's nothing you can do to make up for it, and there's nothing you can do under cultural Marxism to atone for it. So you're just stuck where you're at. You are guilty. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be continuing our series on cultural Marxism, talking about responsibility and sin with Pastor Paul Dare. Our series, Responding to Roman Catholic Proof Texts, comes back. It's Revelation 12 and Roman Catholic Mariology with Dr. Stephen Parks of Concordia University, Irvine, California. Then we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on God creating the world in Genesis chapters 1 and 2 with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. Joining us for our Cultural Marxism series today, Responsibility and Sin, Pastor Paul Dare, Senior Pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Minnesota. He recently concluded a Bible study on cultural Marxism. Paul, welcome back.
Todd, thank you for having me.
If you would contrast the Christian scriptural view of sin and responsibility or guilt with that that is being pushed by cultural Marxism today.
You know, Todd, this is a very important question. And as we have this conversation, we're going to see how this really impacts people and their conscience. And then I would say also then some of the, if you want to call it, policy debates that are taking place then as a society. But I would tell you the understanding of sin in cultural Marxism is a particularly sinister aspect of it. And to start, I think it's best for us to actually take a look once more at the Christian understanding of sin as it relates to then responsibility. So now, when we talk about sin as Christians, we'll talk about sin, for instance, as original sin, you know, that what we inherited from Adam and Eve, the total corruption of our hearts, the bondage of the will. In our common confession and absolution, we very often say, I am by nature sinful and unclean, speaking of that original sin, you know, by nature it's in me, which in some ways is saying, you know, when it comes to sin, I'm a natural. You know, that's what we're confessing before God. We also talk then about sins of commission and sins of omission, if I can take some folks back to their confirmation days. And a sin of commission is simply sins that we commit. You know, if you were to strike somebody or call somebody a name or to gossip, you know, these are sins that you're committing. You're actually doing it. Then we also talk about sins of omission. And the sins of omission, I will share with you what one layperson shared with me once in a humorous way. He said, oh yeah, the sin of omission. He said, the sin I've been meaning to commit, but just haven't gotten around to yet. And we always had a good laugh about that. But the sin of omission, if you don't recall, is the good that we fail to do, where we have the opportunity to serve, to love, to protect, but we fail to do that. So a classic example of that is the parable of the Good Samaritan, where you have the man who's robbed and beaten and laying, dying on the side of the road, and two religious leaders walk by and do precisely nothing. And that's the point, the sin of omission, where you have the opportunity to do good, but we fail to do that. And of course, we often confess that sin as well, where we say, again, very often in a common confession and absolution, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done, the sins of commission, and by what we have left undone, very often the sins of omission. And we continue to say we haven't loved you with our whole hearts and we haven't loved our neighbors as ourselves. Now, what follows then is, Christians, we understand our sin. What then do we do with our sins? Well, Jesus, of course, is very clear about that in Luke 24, after he rose from the dead, after the road to Emmaus. He tells us that repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in my name, and that's what's going to go out then with the disciples, and that's the ministry of the church, that we acknowledge our sin by the Holy Spirit's power, we see it, but then also that we see that in Jesus there is grace, there is the forgiveness of our sins. And so we are always proclaiming those two together, repentance and forgiveness of sins, preached in the name of the one who died on the cross for our sins and rose again. All right, so right there is the Christian understanding of sin and then our responsibility and the good news that Jesus took responsibility for our sins. Now, cultural Marxism, though, it's going to add a new category of sin that is very important for Christians to understand. And for lack of a better term right now, what I call it is assigned sin. In other words, there are sins that are assigned to you that are not inherent necessarily to your sinful nature. They're not sins of commission. They're not sins of omission. They are sins assigned to you. And what I mean by that is this. Cultural Marxism, if you recall, at its very basic level, divides people into categories. You are either oppressed or you are an oppressor. All right, so it's not necessarily what you have done or thought or even inherited from Adam and Eve. It goes something like this. As a man, you are part of the patriarchy, all right, that oppresses women. Thus, because you are part of that group identity of man, as opposed to woman, you are guilty. That sin is assigned to you whether you've done anything to oppress a woman or not. As a Christian, you are part of those who force conversions on people throughout history, and thus, you are guilty of that sin, whether you have done anything, thought anything about that. You might even hold in your heart that, oh my goodness, that's an instance where Christians have sinned, but it doesn't make any difference. You are guilty of that sin assigned to you because of your group in the realm of cultural Marxism. And this, of course, is the big one today. As a person who may be white, you have what's called white privilege, and you oppress minorities, whether you've done anything or not, you are then assigned the sin of being a racist. And the Christian might say, well, wait a minute, I haven't done anything, I haven't actually even thought these things. In fact, I think the opposite of this. I may have even worked to make the situation, whatever it might be, better. And Christians can respond like that because, as it turns out, sometimes Christians tend to think like Christians, wouldn't you know? That is to say, we're approaching the situation from our biblical understanding of sin. I'm sinful and unclean. I confess that. I have committed sins. I have failed to do good. I confess that. I look to Jesus. But the cultural Marxist will calmly, or maybe not calmly, say to you, well, that just proves that you are part of the patriarchy. You are racist, whatever it might be, because you're not admitting you're part of the oppressive system. They have assigned the sin to you based upon your category. And until you admit that your category is oppressive and you are part of it, and thus you are a sinner as part of being that category of person, that oppressor, okay, you're stuck there. And the best you can do then in their realm of repentance is then you become woke. You have to wake up to the fact that you are an oppressor, okay, and thus your repentance is then being an anti-racist or against the patriarchy or whatever the oppressive group might be, okay, which means you're working to overthrow the system. Whereas, again, a Christian is going to take a look at this repentance, this turning in the heart, and then the fruits of repentance that are to follow, the actions that and words that demonstrate it. In the cultural Marxist realm, you become an anti-racist, not looking at your actions, but looking to overthrow the system. If the system is the problem, that's what you have to do. You have to be woke and then be an anti-racist or against then the patriarchy. And your shame is then that you are part of this oppressed group that has been assigned to you. And that's the general distinction between the two. And if a Christian does say something like, again, well, wait a minute, I haven't done that, well, you're actually in some ways just playing right into a cultural Marxist hands, because they're defining sin and repentance in a completely different way. In this case, it's like Antonio Gramsci, the father of Marxism, said, it's a totally different religion. He actually described this form of Marxism as a religion. So, Todd, that's a general gist of what it is.
Pastor Paul Dehr is our guest. It's our series on cultural Marxism. We're talking about responsibility and sin. We'll find out what was happening back in 2020 when we saw mass repentance rallies for racism. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. continues to rank among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast ChristNet on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, I'm Pastor Palmer from Catalina Lutheran Church in sunny Tucson, Arizona. We're a confessional, liturgical, hymn-singing, Bible-teaching, gospel-preaching congregation, and we would love to share God's good gifts of word and sacrament with you. Look us up online at catalinalutheran.org or give us a call at 520-825-9255. God be with you.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation at cuchicago.edu.
We're talking about cultural Marxism and responsibility and sin with Pastor Paul Dare. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Illinois has moved into phase 5 of its COVID reopening plan, and that means no more waiting lists for the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. You can meet and hear Molly and Mark Hemingway, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, Dr. Robert George, Pastor Will Whedon, Jack Phillips, and Dr. Larry Rast. The $150 registration fee includes 3 meals. Reduced room rates, including on-campus dorm options, are available. Learn more and register by calling 618-223-8385 or at issuesetc.org. Making the Case Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Pastor Dare, back in 2020, we saw these groups gathering in cities, largely white crowds in the street being led by someone with a bullhorn. People on their knees, repentance rallies. They were confessing their racism. Even members of the House of Representatives draped themselves in kente cloth and took a knee in the rotunda of the nation's state house. What was that all about?
Well, that's just the thing. So how do you repent of a sin that is assigned to you? And what you were witnessing there, that is a woke confession. And being woke is that repenting again of who you are, or as a Christian we'd say, being woke is repenting of who God has made you, okay? And that's the only thing that you can possibly do is acknowledge, just by virtue of my identity group, that I am an oppressor. And this brings about what I'd say is the very interesting and very important moral question of all this, which is this. Can a person be held responsible for sins that he didn't commit? You know, how does that work? And that's where I'd encourage Christians to get into Scripture once more and take a look at this. And I actually put together a few Bible verses on this that are in the Bible study that hopefully, by the way, is coming out for publication in the end of July. But some verses to look at, for instance, would be Ezekiel 18, verse 20. The soul, it says, who sins shall die. The son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the father, nor the father suffer for the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. And of course, you listen to that verse, and that's telling us that you are responsible for your own sin. The son is not responsible for the sin of the father. The father is not responsible for the sin of the son. And by the way, the next verse even goes on to talk about then, in repentance then, there also is life, that you repent of your sins. Now, what throws us off sometimes as Christians is this, is that we also see in Scripture that innocent people will suffer for the sins of others. So, for instance, a classic one that I think a lot of Christians have found really troubling is in 2 Samuel 12:14, where if we recall, David's son was punished for his sin with Bathsheba. Now, of course, David felt that, but the key that I'm going to make as part of that distinction is this. While David's son was punished, he's not held morally responsible for the sin of another, okay? And there's a very key distinction, where before God, we're not held morally responsible for the sins of another person, and there's lots of examples of that. One other verse that I'd like to bring up here today, Todd, one I think sometimes confuses Christians a little bit on this matter, is in Exodus 20, verse 5 and 6, and this is one that's usually at the close of the commandments when we go through the small catechism as well, where it reads, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commands." And Christians read this and they like, well, wait a minute here. We're visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, or holding the children responsible. But if you read the verse carefully, it actually says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation, keywords here, of those who hate me. In other words, not upon those who love him. There's a big, big distinction here. So if I can sum this up here, because this is very, I'm going to tell you, very important here for two reasons. One is, I would say, the Christian conscience. And then the second, thinking about some of the things being pushed on a societal level. But to sum this up, when you look at Scripture, we will see that sometimes innocent people suffer for the sins of others, but they're never held morally responsible for them. You go back to Ezekiel. Each person is morally responsible only for the sins that they commit. And yes, children might often follow in the sins of a father, but a bad upbringing does not justify their bad behavior before God. They, all through Scripture, may repent. They love the Lord who loves them, and in him there is then forgiveness of sins and life. And that's very key, because a lot of what we hear today as part of this cultural Marxist understanding is that you are responsible for the sins committed by someone, say, of the same gender, of the same race, of the same sexual orientation, or even from people from another time in history. That's part of this what I call, again, sinister aspect of sin. That's part of cultural Marxism. You are responsible. You are assigned sins, and you are responsible for them.
Let's talk a little bit about, because you had mentioned reparations and those kind of solutions that I want to get to a little bit later, and I want to keep them separate because I think a case can be made on a sound basis, kind of a civic basis or theological basis even, that may be necessary at some point, depending on a nation's history. But let's deal with this idea of kind of a national repentance that we're supposed to be engaging in here. We hear this kind of language from President Biden quite often. He calls slavery the original sin of our nation, and he uses kind of theological language to surround it. I've often said a nation can't repent. A nation can apologize. But repentance is a category that is for individual human beings. What are your thoughts?
Well, if a nation were to repent, it would then be a forced repentance, is how it would have to be, is what would take place. It would not be a repentance that takes place in a person's heart, as we were just were taking a look then at Scripture. We'd go back to then a forced aspect to that, which, by the way, is quite common to Marxism. That exactly is what takes place when Marxism takes root and holds sway on a societal level. It claims to be about the little guy, but one of the things I like to bring about is it's loveless, in that really it's about power and then wresting it, sometimes forcefully, from those who, quote, have privilege. So that's a distinction that I would make. You know, if there's going to be, quote, repentance on a national level, well, then that's going to be a forced repentance that takes place. Whereas I would, generally speaking, hold to what you were saying there about God speaking to the individual soul, and that's where the church really does its work, working heart to heart, person by person, bringing then God's law and gospel, and praying the Holy Spirit ever does his work.
We're talking about responsibility and sin in our series on cultural Marxism. Pastor Paul Dare is our guest, senior pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Minnesota. He recently concluded a Bible study series on cultural Marxism. On the other side, is this woke standard of guilt evenly applied to everyone?
This is Molly Hemingway of The Federalist. Join me, my husband Mark of Real Clear Investigations, Dr. Robert George of Princeton University, Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop, and others for the 2021 Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd, and Saturday, July 24th, at Concordia University, Chicago. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Christian greeting card makers, gift shop owners, laser cutters, church banner creators, ornamentalists, poster purveyors, jewelry designers, fine artists, hymn writers, wood carvers, UV bed printers, and authors all love Issues Etc. And you'll find our work at adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday, June the 22nd, it's our series on cultural Marxism. We're talking about responsibility and sin with Pastor Paul Dare. So, Paul, is this woke standard of guilt and responsibility evenly applied? For an example, are African Americans or other racial minorities, are they guilty of their ancestors' sins?
No, because when we're looking at this, how it's applied today, is we're looking at specifically then America as a white supremacist society. So if you were to go to, for instance, the 1619 Project that's put out by the New York Times and has entered into many a classroom, it's talking specifically about the fact that America, like Joe Biden says, is founded on slavery. It is our original sin. It is just about this particular society and then does not apply then to others. Because keep in mind, if you are assigned sin, you are also, by the way, conversely, assigned righteousness. So, for instance, in this particular case, a minority cannot be responsible because they are in the oppressed, righteous category. This actually works in both directions, which is why you will see, for instance, kind of like what you were mentioning, that this is not applied equally, because you're talking about two different groups who have been assigned either sin or righteousness by their group identity. A fascinating study on this that just came out today. I was just reading this morning, actually. Folks could look at this on Fox News. It's actually a story that is out of Seattle. And what's taking place there is it's, of course, Gay Pride Month, where we're proud of sinning. And there's all kinds of community events that are taking place. Well, in one of these community events that's taking place, it's a free event, except if you are white. If you are white, you are charged $10 to $50, and I'm actually going to read the quote from the group that's putting on the event. They say, white allies and accomplices, which is fascinating verbiage there, are welcome to attend, but will be charged a $10 to $50 reparations fee that will be used to keep this event free of cost for black, brown, trans, and queer community, it adds. It's all of those things because, you see, they're all oppressed groups, okay? All of that. Now, interesting enough, there were two people, a man and a woman, who also have their own gay pride organization. So this is a group of another group, okay, also in the realm of great gay pride that took exception to this, and they actually wrote into an advisory board to the city council saying, well, wait a minute, this actually is racist. We can't charge, you know, white people, quote, reparations for this. And they were attacked and called racist for saying that charging money to white people is racist. Well, sure enough, these two folks who wrote in have now apologized. They've seen the error of their ways, that no, reparations are just fine. Why? Well, because this idea that you can be, this is the moral question behind this, you not just can be, but you are responsible for sins of your identity group, even if they took place 15 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago, or 300 years ago. That's part of the thinking. And I was just mentioning that today because I just read it this morning and went, aha, here's an example.
So I'm just going to do the math on me. I'm a fourth generation American. So my great-great-grandfather, I believe, emigrated. To my knowledge, they never held slaves. I seriously doubt they had the resources to do it. They were homesteaders in Nebraska and central Illinois. So there are no slaveholders in my lineage, to my knowledge, but I am still going to be responsible because I'm born with white skin. Is that how the math works?
Yes, absolutely. You're part of an oppressor group. And again, you can see that right here in this particular story. Now, this is an interesting thing because it's part of two groups that are both championing gay pride. But yes, that's exactly how that works. And, you know, that's on a societal level, but I'm also going to say as a Christian, the Christian conscience, where then you are assigned shame simply that comes with your sin of your group. And that's a big problem as well, especially for children. And as Christians, then, we have to keep going back for both our own sin and sin assigned to us, that our righteousness and our peace is found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood, that is, His death on the cross for me, and His righteousness that covers and clothes me. And we have to keep going back to that, because if we don't then find our peace there, if we try to respond to this, I would suggest we're going to do so out of guilt or out of anger, and thus then what comes out of our mouth as a response is not going to be healthy or fruitful.
So to the issue of reparations, you kind of had a small version of reparations, people being forced to pay to attend an event as reparations. Let's talk about it in a broader sense. I believe that there's a case to be made, as an example, merely an example, for some kind of reparation for Native Americans, given the fact that they were terribly treated in our nation's history. I think there's a civil case to be made there, a natural law case to be made there. But that's not what cultural Marxism is talking about, is it?
No. In fact, what you would be talking about there is this good old-fashioned thing called Christian compassion and love, that there is a place for mercy, and that's key. You know, in cultural Marxism, there you're getting into the realm of then forced repentance, is I guess how I would put it, being assigned sins. And that is a completely different world altogether than what you were mentioning there.
So what do we finally hear say to speak then to, say, a Christian listener who is encountering this either in the workplace or in the political realm, in the public square, and they're sorely tempted just to make it go away by saying, okay, I'll accept the responsibility for the sins of my particular skin color group.
Man, that, see, and I'm hearing that in, again, two ways. Again, there's two things that I really believe are at play here. I've said it a few times, and one is the Christian conscience. And I believe that is doing damage to that very precious gift that God has given to us, that peace that we find in Jesus Christ. And usually when we take sins that are not our own, what's going to happen is there's that part of us that is going to say, that's not fair. That's going to be there. And then typically what happens is then there is anger that is there. The best thing that can happen is if a person is experiencing this, and if it's in the realm of, for instance, race, I'm going to take responsibility for the fact that I am white, and thus I have oppressed just by virtue of the fact of the color of my skin, is that, okay, what you're actually experiencing is racism, and maybe God can use that to increase empathy and understanding for the many people who have experienced racism. Okay, maybe that can turn into a gift that way. But generally speaking, when we take on sins that are not our own, it ends up in a place where we're just on that personal level, a Christian is going to be wounded, a Christian is going to be confused, a Christian may not know how to, again, from a Christian standpoint, how do I repent of the sin that I have not committed? That is a tricky and even dangerous place to be. And in the end, we always keep going back to Jesus, but that's not a healthy thing. And then on the other aspect of it, at some point, we have to confess the faith and say, we recognize that there is oppression, but we as Christians have a completely different solution to it. And the longer we wait to actually make a confession of the truth, the more difficult it's going to be. Where I've been very heartened that there are some people who are starting to stand up, and you see those stories as well. In fact, I was at a secular meeting here where I'm at in Alexandria just a week ago, and there it was about critical race theory in the schools and opposing that, and they set up for 70 people, and they had double that standing room only type crowd, and there are stories that people can see now that folks are standing up. But I think as Christians, we really need to, especially on the moral level, talk about this. You know, what is taking place? Being assigned a sin, is not right. It is not healthy for an individual or a society.
Pastor Paul Dare is senior pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Minnesota. He recently concluded a Bible study series on cultural Marxism. Next time, we'll talk about how cultural Marxism shuts down debate, discussion, and conversation. Pastor Dare, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Dr. Stephen Parks will be with us on the other side of the break to continue our Responding to Roman Catholic Proof Text series today, Revelation 12 and Roman Catholic Mariology.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
We confess that the Church is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic, and yet, as we look at the Church here in 2021, it hardly seems one holy, Catholic, apostolic church. How do we come to grips with this reality? Is the church one? How is she united? How do we look to her head, Jesus Christ? Well, this question and many others are discussed in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness. It's all about the church. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness and visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through the 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org. That's flsplano.org.